We are Westminster Smoke Radio.
Hello, million dollars, baby, tu veux ça? Je suis gang, oh game, boy, ne joue pas bang, bang, bang. Je suis gang, oh game, boy, ne joue pas bang, bang, bang. Bla 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 pouki, ferme la porte à la pouki dans le side. Bla 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 pouki, ferme la porte à la pouki dans le side.
Hi everyone, welcome to Smoke Radio. I'm Naima, an exchange student from France. I don't think you can tell by my accent and by the music I just played, because yes, today we are going to talk about international students. In fact, it's 19,000 international students from 165 different countries are studying here at Westminster, and we have to celebrate that. And what better way to celebrate that than talking about it through our experiences? Yes, I said our experiences, because today I'm not alone in the studio. I have been joined by my lovely and beautiful guests, Tatiana and Darian. Thank you so much for being here.
Hello.
No problem.
Thanks for having us.
Yes, we're honored.
I'm super, super happy to have you today, girls, because I was really looking for international students, and it's hard to find anyone who wants to come.
Yeah. Well, you know, we're just these extroverted Americans yeah. that just want to talk to everybody.
Yeah, so I'm super happy. How are you doing?
Yeah, good.
Good.
How was your day?
Interesting deadlines coming
yes.
up, but...
What do you mean?
We've got Voice of London, which is the site that we're working on for our third year project. Yep. We've got our own little sectioned specialized journalism courses that we're doing. It's a lot of stuff going
yeah,
on.
Yeah, a lot of articles to write, events to report on, doing a little bit of everything. So
interesting, because I have to say, like, this is the first time we meet.
Yes.
I don't know you very well, so I have to know you more.
Yes.
And I think people who are listening want to know you more too. So that's why we're going to move to the first part of this show, which is the introduction.
All my ladies. All my ladies, wind to the left, sway to the right, drop it down low and take it back high. Bitch, I don't need introduction, follow my simple instruction. Wind to the left, sway to the right, drop it down low and take it back high. Bitch, I don't need introduction, follow my simple instruction. You see me, I do what I gotta do, oh yeah. On the gas, there's no need to queue, oh yeah. Me and my crew, we got the juice, oh yeah. I'm bossy, cause I am the boss. Buy anything, I don't care what it costs. Stack like a casino, I'm Monte Rossino. If you're the supreme, then I'm Diana Ross. All my ladies, wind to the left, sway to the right, drop it down low and take it back high. Bitch, I don't need introduction, follow my simple instruction. Wind to the left, sway to the right, drop it down low and take it back high. Bitch, I don't need introduction.
So in this first part, I would like to know you more. So, can you give me three words that define you the most?
Ooh.
Yeah.
Put me on the spot.
I know. I always like this question.
All right, you can go first.
But now I'm like, what are my three
words? Who wants
words?
To start?
Okay, first, I think I'm really fun. And I love that I'm fun. That's like one of my favorite qualities about myself, because I just always want to have a good time and I want everybody
to have a
good
time. So we're going to laugh a lot today.
Yes. Maybe. I have no filter. Darian knows.
Yes, girl.
Two, I'm definitely passionate. With so many different social issues around the world, and just passion for travel. And when I love people, it's just so... I'm a fire sign.
Amazing.
So I'm very, very passionate. And then I would say I'm determined.
Oh, yes. Yeah, I love that one.
Yeah, very determined. I set my goals very, very high, and it's just no other way. I have to do it.
And
so,
that's what we have to do, you know?
That's why you're here, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly.
And you worked hard enough to get here, girl.
And you girls want to become journalists, as me, right?
Yes.
Yes.
Interesting. What about you, Darian?
Yeah, I'm going to take one of Tatiana's and say I am very determined as well. I think you kind of have to be if you're moving to a whole different country, you know what I mean?
Yes.
You kind of, you set your goals high and, you know, it's sort of like a thing of, clearly with Tatiana as well, it's like there's no other choice but to just do it and accomplish it and not give up till you do it. So that's me. I'm also just selfless. I know that's something weird to call yourself, but I am like...
What do you mean by that?
I just love thinking about other people before myself. I think about my friends before myself. I think about my family before myself. I think about my boyfriend before myself. I just want to make sure that everybody's happy, they're having a good time, they're feeling loved, they're feeling, you know, appreciated, and they're feeling uplifted by me. So I always just try to be really selfless. And that is a bad trait sometimes, because sometimes you're too selfless. You gotta think about yourself.
Yes.
But, you know, it's a journey of balancing that. And my third one, oh, it's always hard to think of a third anything, really.
If you don't have any, that's fine.
I would say I am very loving. No, ooh. Loving kind of goes with selfless. I'm very outgoing. I just love to... I have no filter. I love to chat bleep all the time. And, yeah, I just love to have a good time. Yeah, that's it.
Amazing. I feel like you all have, like, qualities that a journalist has to have.
You know, I agree. And I think... As a journalist, you have to have very thick skin, mm-hmm. both ways. And so I feel like anytime Darian and I have came to contact in certain modules and mm-hmm. stuff, I can definitely see that she also has those qualities as well. But yeah, I mean, journalism is not easy.
It's not easy at all. You just have to
be really into multitasking. You have to be strong. You have to be driven. You have to be self-sufficient.
You have to be patient, too.
Yeah, there's a lot. So it's a lot of character building, honestly.
Yeah, you got to be really... You have to be able to talk to people as well. And you have to be, I mean, thick-skinned again. Because it's just like, there's tons of people that always tell you... I've encountered so many people that have been like, well, why are you studying journalism? It's dying anyway.
Yeah,
and you have to sit
me
there.
The same thing.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And it's like, you just have to sit there and then, you know, defend yourself in a very patient and, you know... respected way. But yeah, it's just
I feel like a lot of people, including my friends, that used to tell me, like, why do you want to become a journalist? Like, there's, it's not an interesting job. But when you are really passionate about that, when you really want to do that, when you're really ambitious, you have to, like, follow your dreams and not listen to what everyone is telling you. And so interesting. So we're gonna move to the second part, which is the main topic of this show, which is our experiences in London since we came here. I do deals, but I never get twanged. Moves that ain't never been planned. No goons that were never in gangs. Where I'm from, chat shit, get banged. Where I'm from, chat shit, let the 12-gauge drip. Yeah, sick, how it fits in my hand. I don't mix with the glitz and the glam. All these stupid pricks on the gram. I don't do online beef or Nicki Gram beef. I'm way too G'd up to be for gram. Need a port and AP to help me time keep. My shooter ride deep, he moves when I speed. My shooter ride, the shooter guy. Leave you wet like you scuba dive. We were younger then and now we're unified. South London boys, get you crucified, I'm gone. It's that time, Big Mike and Teddy are on grime. I wanna try new things, they just want me to sing because nobody thinks I write rhymes. But now I'm back in the biz with my guy. Give me a packet of crisps in my pint. I hit my friends up, go straight to the pub because I haven't been home in time. Yes, I, but that's my fault. Gross half a billy on the divide tour. Yes, I ain't kidding, what would I lie for? But now I'm back on the track with Big Michael. He said, Teddy, never get off your high horse and never let him take your crown. I've been away for a while, traveled a million miles, but I'm heading back to London town right now. Jet plane. So in this show, we're going to talk about the experience of three women, including me. I'm going to talk about myself also. So basically, we're going to know the expectations we had of London, what we have been surprised of, the differences between our home university and the University of Westminster, what we like and we don't like about London, and the advice we give to people who want to go to study abroad. And we're also going to have a game about the stereotypes and... the stereotypes about America. I have a lot of, like,
ooh.
I found a lot, and I want to know if they are true. Okay. So you're going to tell me. Okay. So I have to say, like, I'm feeling really, really good and positive since I'm here, mm-hmm. since I've been studying here at Westminster. I came here, like, a month ago. And it's not to say that I was not before, but it's a different thing. Like, I've never felt that way. I feel like I'm in the right place. And when I used to, like, speak with my family on the phone, they are always asking me, like, how I feel. And I used to tell them, like, I'm feeling really, really good. And I'm feeling that, like, studying here, I'm feeling really fortunate because it was not an easy process. Mm-hmm. What do you think about that? Do you have the same feeling than me?
I definitely do because, I mean, at the end of it all, when you get here, it is sort of a sigh of relief because it's just, like, it's finally over the whole waiting process. You're definitely here. You're over it. Like, you're through it. You can start enjoying yourself. In a way, it's just, I do feel like there's almost sort of an expectation to keep that excitement going, though, when you call home. You know what I mean? You have to act like you're not homesick and you're not, some days aren't too bad. And you want to keep it going, like, yeah, no, I love it here. Once it's over and you get here, everything's fine. It starts to calm down. It's a really good time.
Yeah, I agree. I do feel very, very fortunate to be able to study abroad.
Yes.
You just learn so much, not only about different cultures and countries and people, but you learn so much about yourself and you really just see how strong you are, mm-hmm. and how resilient you can be. And, you know, it's funny because a lot of people think it's not hard for Americans to study abroad or get visas,
yeah.
but it was
yeah.
a very, very challenging process actually to get a visa from the United States, or as far as having the process go along in a deadline. It was very expensive for me because I had to get everything, like,
yeah,
very last
expensive.
Minute. Everything had to be expedited.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, I literally, Darian actually was in Prague last week.
I was.
And I saw that and I was like, oh my gosh, that's awesome, because I was actually supposed to study abroad in Prague, but I chose London at the last minute. And I knew I was moving to London 8 days before I actually arrived.
Are you kidding me? I didn't even know that.
Yeah, I was supposed to leave to Prague on September 2nd. I canceled my semester there on August 30th.
Why?
Yes, because I chose to come to London instead, but they were just taking so
long
to
get me. And why did you choose London instead of Prague?
Well, I've always been obsessed with British culture, or just
me too.
I don't
yeah.
know.
I thought you were
gonna say
British boys, and I was like,
I was gonna say British culture, meaning British boy bands. I love British everything. I love the royal family, everything. So, my dad's sister actually moved to London about 30 years ago, so she's been here for a really long time, and it was always like, oh, I have this auntie who's in London, so mm-hmm. I've just had this crazy admiration for this city. And I visited in 2013 and I was like, I'm gonna live there one day. So I made it happen.
Oh my god, that's yeah. amazing. Because choosing the University of Westminster was, for me, for example, a conscious choice. I have always dreamed of, like, studying here, just because, like, it was Westminster, and when you are in Westminster, you have everything around you. You have the BBC, and for someone like me who want to become a journalist, that's like a chance. And you also have Oxford Street, which is really famous, and mm-hmm. you have everything around, like, our campuses. And so, I mean, that's one of the reasons why I came here, and that's why that's what I was gonna ask you, like, why did you choose to study in this university in particular?
I've always wanted to move to London since I was, like, 8 years old. And I was in high school, and I kind of got rerouted because I had, like, a guidance counselor who wasn't very motivating. And so years later, go back a year, last year I messaged my old English teacher and I was like, what schools are great for journalism? Because he was actually he was one of my journalism teachers, and him and I stayed really, really close. And I was like, what's a great school for journalism in London? Because I knew his wife had studied here, and he kept saying, what, University of Westminster.
Is her wife a journalist?
No, his wife now actually she's like a sports therapist.
But she studied journalism here.
I think she had a friend that did or something, but she moved to London for a study abroad program. But yeah, so I just kept hearing University of Westminster, and I was like, you know what, that's it. That's the school I'm going to go to. And I learned so much about it, and I'm very happy I came here. All the other schools I was looking at were very outside of London. Mm-hmm. And so it was the best choice for me. It really was. It was a great school, but also it was close enough to everything that I wanted to be near.
Yeah, that's interesting. And what about you?
Oh, sorry. Yeah, so for me, it's kind of a similar story. I was actually in a journalism program at UNLV in University of Nevada, Las Vegas. And they revamped their journalism program, but there was nothing very interactive. There wasn't any, like, real-life type of journalism happening. You just took classes and learned from textbooks, and that wasn't the type of higher education that I wanted and that I wanted to pay for. So I was just sitting at home one day, and I was like, let me just search what the top 20 journalism schools in the world are. I've always wanted to go to USC the most, but that price range is just out of my league. So I saw that University of Westminster was like top 10, I think.
Would it?
Yeah, and yeah, it's high up in there. The world. Mm-hmm. And so I said, you know what?
I didn't know that.
Yeah, and I said, you know what? I'm going to make this happen. And it was, you know, for me, I had my own apartment out there. I have a car. I had an established job, and it was just like I didn't want to become complacent.
Yeah.
And I'm somebody who just loves adventure, and I just love a challenge. And I'm like, you know what? I'm not, like, I knew I didn't want to stay in Las Vegas. It was just, it's cheap to live there. You make decent money on the strip. And I was like, let me apply, and I'm just going to put it into the universe that I'm going to get accepted.
That's
and,
what I did.
Yeah, and
I was going to talk about it. How was your reaction when you first knew that you were accepted? Because I have to say, I remember that I was like doing my nails. And I jumped out of my bed. Uh-huh. I left my bedroom, and I was almost crying. And I went to see my dad, because my dad was the one that always supported me, and my mom too.
That's
but
great.
Me and my dad, we all really, really close. And he was and because when I applied, I never thought I was gonna be accepted, because I was like, okay, this is Westminster, you know, everyone wants to go there. Why are they gonna accept me instead of someone else? So I was really, really happy, and I cried, and my dad was like, you know what I told you, always believe in yourself, never like listen to other people, because I have a lot of people who told me like, don't go there, like you don't have any chance to be accepted there.
Ew, that's horrible. Yeah. And that's the type of negativity you don't need in your life.
Exactly. So how was your reaction to that?
Westminster was not the first school I got accepted to. It was the second school I got accepted to, but I was happier when I got accepted to Westminster than the first school I got, which I won't name. So I got rejected the first two times, and I was in absolute tears, and I was sat at my kitchen table one night, and I was scrolling through figuring out my graduation from my community college, and I just happened to check my email, and I saw there was an update on my UCAS account, and I looked at it, and both my parents there were making dinner, and I was like, oh my god, I got accepted. I started like, it was ugly, like Kim Kardashian ugly crying. It was so, so crazy. My parents just ran over. They gave me lots of hugs. We all cried together. And it was really great. And then I called my boyfriend a million times. And I was like, just pick up the phone. Because, like, the time difference is massive. But, yeah, so I just cried a lot.
Yeah, so. For me, So you had to have the interview as well, right?
Oh, my God, yes, Jim.
Yeah, so we got an email that they were moving forward with our application. And I was like, oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh.
Did you have to do an interview?
Yes.
I didn't have to.
I had to do an interview. I also actually flew out here for the open day to see how I liked it.
Oh,
yeah, wow. I have my uncles work for American Airlines, so I got to get on the buddy pass. And I was like, all right, coming to London for three
Lucky
days.
You.
Saw this place. I came to the open day, Jim McKellen, that's how you say it.
Yep.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So he was like, you know, we only bring in about 60 students mm-hmm. a year mm-hmm. for the journalism program. And that's not, like, they don't separate international students or, like, UK students or EU students. It's just 60 students altogether. And I was like,
there's
wow,
no way.
That is crazy. I'm like, yeah, I'm probably not going to get it, but I'm still going to try. So, yeah, got the information that they were moving ahead with my application, and then did the Skype interview. It was 8 a.m. for me, 4 p.m. here. I totally bombed it because my mind just was not awake yet, and I was like, yeah, I definitely didn't get that.
Yeah.
I'm not going to London. And I was told that they would be contacting me within the next week. So I was like, okay, yeah, that's definitely, that's confirmation that I'm not getting it. That's usually the nice little answer that, like, hey, you're not in. But I heard a ding on my phone at 12:01 a.m. and I got the email that I was accepted into the program. And I was like, wait, you guys literally emailed me at 8 a.m. in the morning to let me know that fast that I got the next day. So I was like, I felt just so grateful and fortunate.
Who emailed you? Like, the University of Westminster?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I guess I was
had the education an abroad office, right?
What was that?
The education abroad office. That's the one that emailed you, right?
I think so.
Maybe.
Yeah.
It was Nila
from admissions. I got the email, but yeah. So I guess Dave, he's the one who interviewed me, Dave Gilbert. And he.
How was the interview? I really want to know because I never experienced that.
The interview was interesting because it was on Skype. I had really bad connection.
Like, what did they ask you?
They asked, "Who's your favorite like journalist?
Who's your favorite journalist?
Favorite publications?
Yeah. What publications do you read? Why do you want to come to the University of Westminster? What kind of journalist do you want to be?
Yeah. Where do you see yourself in 10 years?
Yeah,
what do you
want to
do?
Kind of stuff.
What can you bring to the program? Or like what skills do you have?
How long did it last? I really want to know.
It was like 15 minutes.
Yeah, but it felt like an hour. I was like,
yeah.
I was just like, oh, I'm just so tired. Please let me say something right. But yeah, so it was amazing to feel like you definitely didn't get it
mm-hmm.
and then to know that you did.
Yeah.
And it was like they saw something in me that I feel like I didn't showcase, but mm-hmm. you know, I guess my potential.
Because like all I had to do was a personal statement, mm-hmm. and like filling a form.
Yeah,
that's all I had to do.
Yeah.
So I was like, how are they gonna know like if I'm the right person? But like, yeah, they read my personal statement, and also like my university was talking with the University of Westminster. Like they send them like all my marks and all, you know, all the marks they had in my home university, so that they know like barely how I was, what kind of student I was. So yeah, and because like we are talking about like the process of studying here, but I really want to know like since you came here, because you both came 1 year ago.
Yes.
And what was like the hardest thing for you to go through since you came here?
Well, I moved in all by myself, because like my grandma passed away right before I moved here, and it was sort of like a process of right, okay, she's gone, let's have the funeral, and then Darian's got to leave, like, and it was a really fast process. So it was super personal because I got here, my mom could not. My parents couldn't come and help me because they were too busy dealing with the aftermath of everything that had just
and
happened
really
in the family.
Far from here. I mean,
yeah,
I'm living in Lille. Like, if I want to go back home, like, today, I can.
Yeah.
If I take the train, it's about 1 hour, like, London from Lille.
Yeah.
But you guys, it's really
it's
different,
like
right?
For me, it's an 8-hour flight, and it was
eight
just,
hours.
Like...
For me, it's 12.
Yeah. It's oh awful. God. And it was just, like, so I get here, and I didn't know anyone, and it was just sort of, like, right, okay, I need to move in by myself, and then I just kind of, like, sat in my room, and I was, like, I don't know what to do, and then later that night, I went out with one of my roommates, and I broke down in an IKEA. I was, like, in the bedding section, and I called my mom.
Where do you live, by the way? Where do you live?
So I live on campus, because I just...
Which one?
The Harrow Halls.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so I just live on Harrow Halls, because it's easier, it's cheaper, it's 5 minutes from campus, so I can wake up in the morning and just like rub my eyes and put on makeup if I want and just get in. But yeah, so I just like I broke down in the IKEA in the bedding section, and I just called my mom and I was like, I don't know what I'm doing. So that's been the hardest thing, is like being away from my family and having to deal with that grief while being away from everyone.
That's the hardest thing.
It's real. It sucked. It really did. It was absolutely awful. But I mean.
So when you first came here, you were not well at all.
No, it was like a weird sort of, because I didn't know when I was getting my visa.
How
I'm sure
long
Tatiana.
Did it last? How long this feeling lasted?
Like the homesickness and the grief.
Yeah.
Like it lasted till, I mean, like I'm still going through it really, but it really hit hard the whole fall. And then I went home for Christmas. It was good. And then I came back and I was like not in a good place for the rest of the year really, because I just wanted to be home. I knew what it was like to be home and to finally get to grieve with my family. So it was like getting back to school after that was really, really difficult. And it was like I just didn't want to be there. I just wanted to be at home to like properly spend time with my family.
And what would you say helped you to go through this feeling?
Well, I mean, it was like my boyfriend. So he lives here, and he was like the only source of home home that I had. I mean, I have friends here, obviously, but, like, it was his house and his family were sort of the place I would go, you know, every weekend or throughout the week or whatever, just to, like, be and, like, be calm and be just hang out and just be with, like, you know, people that aren't gonna, you know, want to do 50 million things every night or go out every night. So it was nice to just, like, go to his house and then call my parents, of course, and call my friends and FaceTime people and, like, see my niece, because I have a little niece and I would FaceTime her. It's just a lot of, like, being with people that you care about and that people that, like, fill your time with nice memories, get your mind off things. But yeah, I think that was the hardest thing. It's also silly things like the food here is different.
Always a different.
You know what I mean?
Oh my gosh, it's so different. We just, I mean, honestly, in my personal opinion, if we're talking about British food, it's very bland. And
yeah,
there's not much flavor.
Yeah,
that goes on in America. I feel like everything's probably super salty. And savory and greasy and all this. I mean, yeah, you shouldn't eat it every day, but
no, but it reminds you home, doesn't it?
Can you tell me all, like, the hardest thing you had to go through since you came here?
Yes, actually, so I, like I said, I had my own apartment in Las Vegas, so I wasn't living with anybody. I had a dog and a cat.
So you, yeah, you already experienced the loneliness.
Yeah, so I was already instantly, I experienced the loneliness. I was actually planning on moving my, I had two cats at the time, actually. So I had two cats and a dog, but I was just gonna move my cats here with me. So I found a place in Harrow, about like a 15-minute walk from campus.
Oh, so you're not in a campus, right?
No, I'm actually further now, but I'll go back and tell later. yeah, so I found a family to rent from.
Ooh.
And you know, there's only so much you can see online, so you see these room sizes and you really can't put it into perspective until you get there. And I said, you know, one of my cats is handicapped, she really can't walk, so I need to be on the first floor. Didn't know that first floor in London actually means like second floor to us. It's ground floor.
It's just the ground floor. Yeah,
so something told me to come here, get settled, go back, and then bring my animals here. So when I got here, the room size was like Harry Potter's closet.
Yeah. His little cupboard under
the stairs. It was so small. And it was like one bathroom I had to share with two teenagers and a mom. And I don't know, just instantly I just knew it wasn't right for me. So I had to just suck it up and stay there for like, I decided not to go back and get my cats. My family just took care of them. But yeah, I just was like, wow, this is so different for me to just not be on my own and have to kind of like share space with people. And I haven't done that in a really long time. And then I think one of the hardest things too is not really having a true understanding of the currency. Like if I have $100 in my bank account, I know how far I can stretch that. I know exactly what I can and can't do. But here it's like, everything looks cheaper, but it's really not.
It's not, and when it's you, like, put it into your home currency.
It's like, okay, so how, like, far, example, can 100 pounds get me here?
Yeah,
it's
like, really, like 70 pounds really get
how you. Much dollars is 1 pound?
I think it's $1.30, right?
I think, yeah, it's $1.30 or $1.31.
Yeah,
but then that doesn't seem like a lot. But then when it, the larger the amount larger amounts, gets, yeah, the yeah, farther it,
yeah,
gets.
Yeah, so when, you know, I was, I mean, living in this place, Harry Potter's closet, it was 600 pounds. And that was actually $800 US. And I had a two-bedroom apartment for $900 US to myself. Parking, washer and dryer, fireplace, everything was just mine. So I was just constantly comparing, like, how am I living out here in this super small space compared to, like, what I have out there. So, you know, I was kind of wrestling with the idea, like, did I make the right decision?
Yeah.
Like, you know, what did I sacrificed all of this to come here. But no, I think ultimately it's not easy at all. And a lot of people think it's easy because you speak English, but
you
it's like
you speak the same language.
American
That's what I was
English.
Because I'm from France, you know, and I still have this French accent that people sometimes don't understand. You know, it's pretty complicated. But you guys like speak English. That's fine.
But American English is a different world from like it is English.
I was going to talk about
it. It really is.
Because when I was trying to improve my English back home, mm-hmm. I was like, I used to like watch a lot of American show, like Ellen
Friends
Show.
And
do you know
stuff.
The Ellen
Show?
I love
her.
I love her. Like, I used to watch her like every day back home.
She's great.
And so when I came here for the first time, I realized that wasn't the same thing. You know, mm-hmm. people don't pronounce the same words.
Mm-hmm.
And also, I wanted to know, because we're talking about that right now, is there like some American roads that don't exist here?
Oh,
in London?
Yes.
Like what kind of roads?
I think it's more so slang as slang well words. Too.
I've and heard like, of grocery store.
Oh, yeah, okay.
That doesn't exist in England, right?
No,
like they don't say that. In
no,
the same
it's
way.
Called a supermarket. No, they're just like a they go food shopping. It's yeah, like
yeah,
shopping.
Yeah, stuff like that. What's another example? I feel like in America we usually call something by the brand name. So like Band-Aids, which
Kleenex.
Yeah, yep. Kleenex are like tissues. So like clean your nose. So we call it Kleenex. Me and my mom ran into Boots when she was here visiting, and she had a blister. So we were like, do you guys sell Band-Aids? They're like, what is a Band-Aid? And it's, I guess they call
it's
it
a plaster
here. So that's, you know, kind of something that we don't know. And then, like, Q-tips, what are they called? Cotton swabs or something?
Cotton swabs.
We call them Q-tips.
Yeah, that's exactly what, yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, and then there's also, like, the smallest things. Like, you guys say pavement, and we say sidewalk.
Yeah.
And, like, you guys say lorry, and we say, like, an 18-wheeler or a truck. Like, you know
or
what
like,
I mean?
Or, like, we'll say, like, shopping cart, and it's called trolley.
Yes.
Here. Or a backpack is a rucksack.
I've rarely heard that.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. But then the baby stroller is a pram.
Oh.
Yeah, that's a pram.
Yeah, I would have never.
What does that mean?
Never guessed
so
that.
it's like what you like roll the baby in. It's like the little stroller.
Oh,
it's
yeah,
like
yeah,
what
yeah,
you
yeah,
push
yeah,
them in.
You know what's the biggest one I
what?
Found?
What?
They don't, because like we will say school for every era of our life and education. Like school is from kindergarten until college. We call everything school. But here they call it uni or university.
Uni, like, college is secondary
you
school.
You say
like
in America, you say college, right?
Yeah, for our
and
university.
And here they say university.
Yeah, yes. But we don't really, like, we wouldn't say, oh, what are you doing today? Oh, I'm going to college. We wouldn't say that. We say, oh,
I'm going to school. Yeah.
Yeah.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
yeah,
it's
so that's why I was
weird.
Like, I kept saying school, and everybody's like, why do you say that? You sound like you're a child. But I'm
and
like,
when you came here, what surprised you the most? Because you were talking about the food, right?
Yeah.
Is it something that really, like, surprised you? Because I feel like there's not a lot of differences.
Well, I thought, I mean, living close to New York City my whole life, moving here, I found, like, the public transportation a lot easier, actually. So the tube map and the way that the, you know, like, the underground works
mm-hmm.
is actually a lot easier than
I
what
agree.
I've experienced
I'm
in New
always
York.
So
surprised.
Organized.
Because
yes.
I feel like it's we always hear that Americans have everything. And when I heard you saying that, oh, this is better in London, I'm really, like, shocked.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We all have this idea of, in America, there's everything. They
America likes to share that message. But as you can see, we're speaking from experience.
Case.
No. I've been to New York plenty of times.
Yeah.
I am so confused on the subway system.
Yes.
And,
it's not easy.
Coming from San Francisco, there's a very small subway system there called the BART, and there's only like 3 or 4 lines, but even that can be confusing.
Yeah.
Because I would love to go to America. That's one of my biggest dreams,
mm-hmm.
you know? And what places would you recommend me to go?
Oh, New York, first and foremost, probably.
Yeah. I mean, living so close to it, it's kind of lost its novelty to me, but there are a lot of beautiful things
to
in
be
New
honest,
York City.
I want to go to Miami.
Oh, Miami is so fun. That's one of my favorite cities. South Beach, yes.
Because
so
I met one of my friends in the Debate Society. Have you joined this debate? Did you join the Debate Society?
No, I did not.
It's a program that the University of Westminster offers you. And so it's basically like, every Tuesdays, you have 4 teams who have to defend their ideas on certain topics.
Mm-hmm.
And so I met a girl from Miami, actually, and I told her I really want to go to Miami. She was like, this is the best place because they have the beach. And
it's
also, like,
great.
I have one of my, it's not my friend, but I follow her on Snapchat, and she was in Miami, like, some days ago. And it was, like, 30 degrees. I was really shocked. Like,
it's warm all
in October, 30 degrees. That doesn't exist, like, where I come from.
No, Miami's really, really fun. It, like, especially if you're talking about South Beach.
What can I do in Miami?
What can you do?
Yeah.
You can lay out.
Drink.
Oh, yeah, oh, my gosh. Party, club. And you know what? Everything's open really late there, too. So you can dance,
that.
Do a lot of salsa dancing. That's really fun.
Have
you
ever been there, by the way?
Oh, yes, I love Miami. I almost moved
there.
Mm-hmm. I like to. I want
to
move everywhere.
I've never been to Miami, but I've been to different parts of Florida, which is the state that Miami's in.
Yeah.
But no, I've heard heard there's nothing like Miami, but I know Miami's everything you can really do there. Fun. You drink, you party. It's like the American.
It's
you
guys like Vegas by the beach.
Yeah.
Oh, it's yeah. Like Ibiza. It is Ibiza. I would have said it. We say it.
Ibiza. Ibiza.
Yeah.
It's that language thing. I'm like, did I see the Z? Do they understand?
Yeah, I know. Because it's in Spain, it's, technically.
It is, and yeah. And they change it up. Another place you need to go to is Austin, Texas.
Oh, I love Why Austin. Should I go there?
Oh, tell my God. Okay, why. Well, my brother lives there. I'm going there for Christmas. That was where I was going to move. I didn't move to London. I would have gone to UT Austin.
Oh.
Yeah, I would have gone to the University of Texas at Austin. So Austin has everything. It's like the food truck capital of the world. They've got tacos there. They've got Torchy's Tacos. Tacos, which is the place to go. Torchy's Tacos is a chain.
Is it only about the food?
It's no. Food are staple though for
yeah for
you
Austin,
know,
Texas.
But their music is great.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Texans, they are just that Southern hospitality.
Lovely people.
It's great.
And yeah. there's some cute people down there. Yeah. There really is. And
it's funky. It's Portland. It's Portland's sister city. So you get a little bit of this, like, really hipster West Coast vibe in the South.
Yes. And it's very earthy as well. It's very, hippies.
You know, it's interesting. I'm actually vegan, and you would never assume that, like, the vegan capital of America is in Texas, but it's awesome.
It is. Yeah. It's a place of barbecue, but, you know, they've
That's
got a lot of good options.
We're going to talk about it after the break. We're going to talk about the stereotypes that come a lot about America.
I love it. This is so...
When I'm trying to have a good time, 'cause I'm good now, you ain't mine. Nah, 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 nah. Don't call me up when you're looking at my photos. Getting hot, losing control. You want me more, now I let go. Nah, 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 nah. I'm over you. Don't call me up, I'm going out tonight. Feeling good now, you're out of my life. Don't wanna talk about us, gotta leave it behind. One drink and you're out of my mind. Nah, nah, take it up. Baby, I'm on the high and you're alone, going out of your mind. But I'm here up in the club, and I don't wanna talk. So don't call me up, 'cause I'm here looking fine, babe. And I got eyes looking my way, and everybody's on my vibe, babe. Nah, 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 nah. Don't call me up. My friend said you were a bad man. I should've listened to the back then. And now you're trying to hit me up again. Nah, 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 nah. I'm over you and I don't need your lies no more. 'Cause the truth is without you, boy, I'm stronger. And I know you said that I'd change up a cold heart, but it was your game that left scars. Ooh, I'm over you. Don't call me up. Wanna talk about us, gotta leave it behind. One drink and you're out of my mind. Not enough to get up. Baby, I'm on the high and you're alone, going out of your mind. But I'm here up in the club, and I don't wanna talk. So don't call me up. Don't call me up, I'm going out tonight. Feeling good now, you're out of my life. Don't wanna talk about us, gotta leave it behind. One drink and you're out of my mind. Nah, nah, pick it up. Baby, I'm on the high and you're alone, going out of your mind. But I'm here up in the club, and I don't wanna talk. So don't call me up.
So here we are after the break. We're gonna talk about some stereotypes about America. And you girls are going to tell me if this is true or false.
Ooh, okay.
Are you ready?
Yes. They're gonna be really cutthroat.
The first one that I found, and I feel like a lot of people used to say that even in France. Is that true that American people are seen as very positive and optimistic people?
Oh my God,
and some
I hear
people
this.
See that optimistic as the factor of the American dream.
No, okay, no, no. I'd say we're not all very positive.
I agree, and I think it's more regional too. Because like
that's the image that people have about America.
No, it's not true.
And I think it's you know why I think too is you get shows like Friends and stuff like that where they're just like so hyper. But I'm from California, so I do find people in California to be more optimistic and positive
because y'all got
friendly.
The sun.
Yes, but in Las Vegas where like money, it's very money driven.
Yes,
I find people to be very pessimistic, very selfish. So I think it's hit or miss, and I think it's where you're at too.
That's true. I mean, New Jersey, we're right in the tri-state area, which is a very busy area. It's where all the big businesses are. It's where New York City is. So you've got it's money driven as well. And I'm not. We're also like considered one of the worst drivers in the country.
And you guys can drive only at 21st.
16. Well, actually, it depends on which state you live in.
You only can drink alcohol 21.
Oh, yeah, just drink alcohol 21. I thought you were going to ask about renting cars, though. You have to be 25.
To rent a car. Yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah, I was like, what?
It's just another reason we're not optimistic.
I think why people say that is because the American dream is saying that everything is possible. So that people think that all Americans are optimistic and they feel like every American person is like, I can do that. So I think that's where it came from.
I think that used to be the case when America was more like, move here for the opportunity, you work hard, you are definitely rewarded. Sadly, it's not been like that way in the past, I don't know, 30 years. So I feel like millennials and I think it's Generation Z. We haven't had it as easy as that because there's a lot of, you know, like corruption going on and stuff like that. Or it's like prices for homes are really expensive. So people aren't really buying property anymore like they used to. And it's really hard to go to school or afford it. I feel like that's probably why it's not like that anymore. But I think America still tries to, you know, share that like, this is it's American dream. Anything is possible here. I think they still believe or want people to believe that it's like that.
So but people move there and give them money.
Yeah, but I personally don't think it's like that anymore. I do have a different perspective, though, being from California, where I feel like people are more, like, chill and stuff like that.
Okay, I have another one. And this one, I think, may be true.
Okay.
You are loud when you speak.
Oh, my God.
I have to say,
God.
You are not. Because, like, you are speaking, and it shows me that that cannot be applied to everyone.
Oh, really? You don't think that? My family says I sound like I have a built-in microphone.
Yeah. I don't think so. Like a healthy voice.
No, you are a loud talker, but I'm one too, so I don't think that's a bad thing.
I don't either. I like loud talk. I like passion. So
yeah, that's
I'm
where it comes from. Yeah. It's not anger, it's passion.
Yeah, that's what it is. We're just easily excitable. That's what it is. We just like, obviously, we were talking about this. Halloween's big in America. So, like,
I would love to celebrate Halloween.
It doesn't even feel like it's October to me here because I don't see any decorations.
There's no decorations.
But Americans, we just do the most. And that just means, like, we go overboard with everything that we do.
Are you going to do something, by the way, in Halloween?
I'm going to hope I do. I went to Amsterdam last year, and that was a huge letdown.
Are you going to celebrate Halloween
in
London?
Yeah. I'm not leaving now because I left some place before and it didn't work out.
I'm heading the Smoke Radio Booze and Booze party.
What? Yeah.
So I kind of got to be there. You know what I mean?
So that's like a pre-Halloween party.
This is a pre-Halloween party.
It's
and then
tomorrow,
on Halloween,
by the way.
It is tomorrow.
At
it starts
time?
At 10:30.
Okay.
And it goes to like 2:30. Really, whenever people want to leave, honestly, I'm open. Halloween, I'm going out. I need to go out.
Me too.
I need to go out.
Another one which used to be really famous in France, which is you guys don't care about the environment.
I think more so what you were talking about with the millennials and the Gen Zs. I think we are the generations that are caring so much more about the environment. But the older generations, you don't see them caring about it as much. Though, the people from like the older generation that are from like the 60s or the 70s, you actually see them caring about it a lot more than people who are a bit older. So there's definitely a break. I mean, people from the 60s and 70s, I see care. And then you have millennials and Gen Zs that care. But really anyone in between. between or before. They don't, they, it's not big for them. They don't care.
And I guess we're known as like the nice generation because we're actively changing things.
Yes.
However, California is one of these states that pays people to recycle. Really? So I've always, I've always actually grown up caring about the environment. I haven't littered since the third grade. I'm very like proud
How much did they pay you for recycle?
I want to say it was like 5 cents per can or something like that.
Interesting.
But yeah, you can make really good money. Like my uncle took like 5 or 6 bags of like tons of cans and he got paid like $50. So there was more of like an incentive.
Mm-hmm.
But I do find also certain states are really big on it. So if you're like a coastal state, you are more environmental friendly. Like Seattle's really big in environment and Portland, California.
Oregon,
Yeah.
Washington. Mm-hmm. And Texas actually makes you pay for bags at the grocery store if you want them, like London does. But they're one of the few states that in the states that do that. Like New Jersey hasn't made that sort of move yet.
Okay, so as I'm from France, do you guys have some French stereotypes? Like stereotypes about France? I can tell you right now if this is true or false.
Yes.
And I will be honest.
I just feel like people always think that French people are rude.
Yes, I hear that all the time. I'm sorry.
So I have to say, this can be true. Not all of them, actually. Like you will find rude people in America. You'll find rude people in London.
Oh, no, everywhere.
But that's, I think, I think it came from the politics. I would say that. We have a lot of, like, French politics that, like, politicians, French politicians that seem really rude on television. And I think that's where that came from, but if it when it comes to people like French people, it really depends. I couldn't like say if this is true or false because the French people that I know, some of them are rude, some of them are really nice. So I don't know, I don't really know, but yeah, I think it depends.
Yeah, I mean, I've been to Paris 3 times and I haven't I haven't encountered very many rude people in Paris at all. I find the Parisians to be kind of like New Yorkers where, like, they're not unhelpful. They'll help you, but they're not going to go out of their way to help you. Like, you ask them for directions, they'll tell you where to go, and then it's like, all right.
I think what may be true, though, is that French people really, like, when you come to their country, which is, I think, pretty much the same in all countries.
I think I know what you're going to say.
They want you to speak French.
Yes.
Yes.
And it happens to one of my roommates who were to Paris 2 weeks ago, because I'm living in Alexander Fleming Hall in Shoreditch. And one of my roommates, who is Australian, he went to Paris and he didn't speak French, you know. So he tried to, but he was fined up. Because he didn't pay he paid his ticket, but he didn't, like, post it in the, how do you say that? Like, he buy his tickets for the train.
Okay. Yeah.
But he didn't,
he didn't buy, like, the right pass
Something like that. And so he was trying to speak French, and he couldn't, like, say anything. Yeah. And they didn't, like, try to understand him. They were like, okay, you don't speak in French, that's okay, just give me the money.
And
I think this is one of the things that maybe French people are known for.
That was my assumption. It's like, if I don't speak French, are you even gonna talk to me? Like, and that was my assumption.
I honestly have experienced that in Paris, but I, you know, it's the same with Americans, though.
It
like
is.
Because we don't speak any other languages, really.
That's something that is true.
Yeah. So it's like they're always like, "Well, you come to America, why don't you speak American?" But it's like, you know how hard that. I mean, not speak American. That sounds.
Speak English.
But it's like, do you know how hard it is? Like, I'm sorry. When I go and travel, I love to travel, but I don't always know all the phrases or anything. I try to know hello, thank you, and stuff like that.
Yeah, the simple ones.
But, I mean, I can't hold a conversation. So I can't imagine how frustrating that is.
When you started to study here at Westminster, is there a difference between the way your teachers teach in America comparing to, like, English teachers?
Very
much. How is it different?
I was talking to someone about this last week, and we're not allowed to, like, in the States, we don't call our professors by their first names.
Not
That's disrespectful.
Way disrespectful.
And we don't even, the professors don't even get to know us enough to know our names, but I'll be walking in first thing in the morning, and I'll pass one of our lecturers, and he'll be like, oh, hey, Darian. So it's just sort of like, it's very personal here, and I like that because that's how I learn better.
It's a very intimate journalism program. Yes. Like, they know everybody's name, and you feel like you truly understand them. They're also a lot more relaxed, in my opinion.
Yes,
like,
they are.
Our schooling is just completely different. Like, we don't have a lecture and a seminar. It's just all one. So we do.
And you rarely get a break.
Yeah, you never get a break. It's all learning and talking in one hour, or, you know, one class. And I feel like we don't really have, like, homework here. So it's like you're kind of just, like, chilling for, like, 6 weeks. And then they're like, hey, don't forget your essay, 2,000 words, due next week. You're like, what? Oh, my gosh. Yeah.
Do you have seminars?
No.
No, we don't have seminars. So basically, okay, a lecture and a seminar is, it happens in one
class. It's just one class.
Okay, because in France, we have seminars. But the difference between here and France is that, like, teachers don't ask us what we think about some things. Like, we just have to listen to them and copy what they're saying.
Oh, and man, I don't like
and
that.
Exactly. And in here, like, in the seminars in the University of Westminster, they used to ask us what we think about some, you know, news are coming up and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. And not in France. That's the main difference between our way of teaching in France and here. But, yeah, and all another stereotype, which is that you guys are hardworking.
You know, I think we are hardworking because we have no other choice. We don't get vacations. Yeah. So, yeah, you know how people have holidays for, like, 3 weeks?
I was going to ask you.
We don't really get them very much.
You literally need to work for a company for, like, 5 years in order to get, like, the 2 weeks off. And that's, you have to request it and see if it gets approved.
Yeah,
if
it's not just given to you. We don't get paid maternity leave. Yeah. So you have to work right up until, you know, you're incapable of working when you're pregnant just to be able to have enough money to sort of, like, mm-hmm, live for mm-hmm, the six, mm-hmm, eight, a year, you know, whatever, how many mm-hmm months you want to before you're able to come back to work. And we live to work, really.
And that's not the way you should
it's
live
It's not
life.
The way you do it. Like,
you're supposed to work to live.
Work to
right?
live. But even that doesn't sound right. You
no,
know what
wait,
I mean?
Live to work. No, yeah, you shouldn't live to work. You should be working to live life, to take your holidays and enjoy that.
Enjoy
I think that's
your time.
Why, too, I don't like when you said about Americans being optimistic and stuff like that. I think working all year through with no mm-hmm break, it really takes a toll on your mental health and your happiness. And, yeah, and I think that also is why Americans can be a lot really uptight.
Do you have other,
like,
French stereotypes?
Anymore?
If you don't have it,
it's
fine.
No, I don't think I do. I think just your food is really hearty and
yeah,
stuff
it's
like
really
that.
Thick. Yeah, it's just thick food. Do y'all eat, like, frog legs and caviar and stuff all
yeah,
the time?
Yeah, we do, yeah.
And foie gras, right? Is that
foie
gras?
Yeah, foie gras. That's interesting. I want to test you on some French sentences.
Ooh, okay.
Because you told me, like, you didn't study French in school.
No,
right?
I studied Spanish.
And, like, what
we were we were offered at my school. We were offered Spanish, French, and then my last year there we were offered Mandarin.
And what are the languages that you had to take?
We didn't have to take
you
any.
You don't have
we,
to take any. It's elective.
It's
you get
well,
the choice.
For us, you had to choose one, but, like, it was just to fill a class. Like, you couldn't fill. You had extra electives, but you had to learn one language.
So
you got to choose.
So the French language is not among the mandatory ones.
Well, no, it was two out of the one out of the three we were given. So we were given Spanish, French, and then our last year in high school, we were given Mandarin.
You know what? You're right. It's been a long time since I've been in high school. But they. So yeah, you do get. It's one of your required electives mm-hmm. that you only have to take 2 years, and it's, you know, they don't really implement it in anything, so you don't practice it. You're just like, you learn from a textbook, you learn from your teachers, and you pass the test, and then you
that's
get
it.
So yeah, I did Spanish as well, but I'm Puerto Rican, so
however
was, yeah.
I'm sorry, but I'm gonna test you.
Okay.
So I'm gonna say you some tell you some French sentences, and you have to guess the translation.
A full French sentence?
Oh my gosh, that's gonna
yeah.
be so
okay.
hard.
I'm gonna, like, I found easy ones.
Okay.
If you can't find it, that's fine.
Okay.
So, with the French accent. Tu me manques.
Oh, say that again?
That's really easy, the easiest one.
Tu me manques.
Tu me manques.
How are you?
No.
Hello?
No.
Good morning?
No, that's bonsoir, bonjour.
No!
Oh!
Tu me manques. If I'm gonna if a guy comes and tell you tu me manques,
you're beautiful.
No.
How you doing?
No. Okay. It was I miss you.
Oh. Okay.
Yeah. Another one.
That's sweet. To my mom.
Yeah. Another one. Je ne te crois pas.
That's je ne...
You didn't hear, you've never heard that?
I feel like I've heard it in a Beyoncé song, to be honest.
Je ne te crois pas.
Je ne te crois pas. Ooh. Je ne te crois pas.
It's me.
Yeah. Okay.
Means I.
I am French.
No.
I'm from Paris.
I'm tired. I'm tired.
No, it means I don't believe you.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
You're French is just really pretty.
Yeah,
it sounds beautiful.
To say that.
Everything just sounds like fancy.
Everyone says that.
It sounds really like smooth, like loosey-goosey.
I think it's a pretty language.
It's an American. Is fancy American or British?
The word fancy? Yeah. Oh, it's American,
it's
I think.
American.
And what does that mean exactly? It means
posh.
Posh. It's our version of posh.
And another one. Qu'est-ce que tu en penses?
That sounds like give me a kiss or something.
No!
Do you want to kiss me?
Not at all.
Can you repeat it one more time?
Yeah, of course. Qu'est-ce que tu en penses? Qu'est-ce que tu en penses?
Oh, gosh. No, I have no clue. And that's the thing about French. You can't even, like, dissect the words.
Yeah,
that kinda
it's not
sound,
like Spanish.
It's so different,
okay,
I feel like.
It
What's
means...
Could you give me a hint? I want to try to guess this last one.
Okay. Qu'est-ce que tu en penses? So it's basically like if someone comes and... Like, for example, you're having, like, this, like, you're talking about something with someone, and he suddenly tells you, qu'est-ce que tu en penses?
Guess what happened today?
No.
What do you mean?
No.
What do you mean?
Look at her. We love our pop music.
Oh.
You were not too far from it.
What?
What's going on?
No.
What are you trying to say?
No. It was almost that. It meant like, what do you think about it?
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Oh, we were close.
And last one, je suis allée à la piscine hier.
Je suis allée à la piscine hier.
Oh my gosh.
Oh, you have to learn French because
I want to. That's
English,
actually the language I
your
want.
Your French
to
is not that good. Je suis allée à la piscine hier.
Bonjour. Je m'appelle Tatiana.
I'm gonna. You will find if I tell you that.
Okay.
Je suis allée à la piscine hier. It's basically somewhere when you will have to wear a swimsuit.
Like a pool, like a beach.
Yeah. So it meant like I went to the swimming pool yesterday.
Oh, okay.
Sounds so pretty when you say something so simple like that.
Thank you. It's almost the end of the show, but before ending the show, I want you girls to give to people who are listening and for people who want to go abroad some advice. What would you say to people who want to go abroad, who are scared and don't really dare to go abroad because they are scaring about something and they don't know what is preventing them from going abroad?
Just do it. Just do it. Like Nike. Just do it because you could tell yourself for years that, you know, you're scared, it's not going to work out, you don't want to do it. But once you get there, you realize it's really not as scary as it seems and everything flows. If that's where you're meant to be, it will flow very naturally and it'll all come to you very quickly. And you have people who will, you know, there's some people might think, you know, how am I going to make friends? How am I going to be away from
my
family? You are going to find those people and you're going to find your place in this new, you know, country you're living in this new state you're living in, whatever it is. You will find your place, you will do it, but manifest it. Believe in yourself because at the end of the day, that's what's going to get you through. And just work hard. If this is truly what you want, spend, you know, almost every day working on it. That's it. And just push it.
Yeah, and I would actually say also just do it. I think life is so short.
Yeah.
And you have to take chances. You have to do things that take you out of your comfort zone. Because, again, you learn so much about yourself. You learn so much about the world. It opens your mind up to so many things. To so many different possibilities and opportunities. And,
Change is good.
It can happen, yes. Change is very good, and you will make it work. I mean, like I said, I was living in a
yeah,
place,
you're the best example.
And I was just so like, oh, what am I going to do? But you know what? You persevere. You push through. You turn to your family for that support system that you need, and then you look at yourself in the mirror, and you're like, I'm going to do this.
Yeah,
like,
you adapt.
Amazing advice.
Yeah.
My advice will be, because you are from a country who speaks English, but... Where people speak English, but my country, like, a lot of people don't speak really good English.
Mm-hmm.
So I was really scared about the fact that I would I would come here and no one would understand me, and was like my first fear was like, I will come here, but like, I won't make friends if I don't speak English.
Mm-hmm.
But this way, like a year ago, or maybe more than that, I think 2 years ago, I started to like watch English movies, or it was mostly American movies. American shows.
They're better.
You are the best.
I'm not trying to, but our production levels are on point.
That's what I was going to say. So yeah, I used to like watch a lot of. My advice will be for people who don't have the good level of English or whatever language you, the country you want to go speaks. I would say try like to train yourself to speak this language before you go there, and also like don't be scared of not meeting people, because we always meet people. A lot of international people go. Travel a lot, so you will meet international people, and yeah, so I think the fear is a barrier, you know.
Yes,
and
yes.
Like,
oh, totally.
If you want to break it, you have to push it.
Yes,
that was gonna say. So if you want to break this fear, you have to move forward.
Yeah, you just have to do it.
Yeah.
Like, don't talk yourself out of it. Don't let other people talk yourself out of it. If it's something you want to experience,
don't listen to people.
And like, if it's meant to
listen
happen,
to
it will
yourself.
Happen.
Is that
yeah, just trust your intuition, too. If you're intuitive and you're like, something is telling me I need to move to London, do your research, find out what you have to do to get there, and then just make it happen.
And
you can always come back home.
Yeah.
One of the fears people, students have, but not only students, is the fact that, for example, if they want to move abroad, they have to be financially stable.
No.
Which is,
you just get loans.
I think, yeah, but you have...
There's a way to make it happen.
If you want to go abroad, like, just try to... I would say, like, find maybe a job before going there, or finding a job in this place would be a good idea. What do you think about that?
Yeah, or, like, our university, they have this... program where they help you find jobs.
Yeah.
You know, so it's all very feasible.
When you get here, people will help you in your life no matter what. Your family and your friends will help you get there. You will help yourself get there. And then when you get there, the people there want you to succeed as well, because, you know, they see you trying. If you're visibly trying and you're trying to make it work, you're not just sitting back waiting for things to happen for you. They will happen. You just got to keep working hard at it. And don't ever think that someone's not going to help you. There's always someone there that's going to want to help you succeed. And you just got to find them. And that's it.
That's amazing. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for having us.
Your advice were amazing. And I would enjoy having you in the show.
Thank you. I enjoyed being here.
Thank you so much. And thank you for all of you who are listening. And see you soon.
I never go back. No, no, no. I never go back. I never go back. No, no, no. I never go back. It's not my baby. I wanna leave you, baby, don't you leave me, baby, don't you love me anymore. Always look around, girl, trying to see the good thing. Why you always say that you never done wrong? Why you never hold me, tell me that you love me? Why you always say that you never let go? I never go back, no, no, no. I never go back. I never go back, no, no, no. I never go back. I wanna do this, I don't wanna do this. Yeah, we shouldn't do this anymore. Quiero dejarte, no me necesitas, porque siempre dices eso mismo.